from his studios in New York. It's time for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports meets life. Here's your host, Dan Tortora.
Yeah, I'm watching the Clemson game. It's like, and I felt like I was waiting for Scorpion to shoot it out, and or take the head off, and use the skull or whatever. But, and that was a Mortal Kombat reference to the people playing the home game. But I have a really okay. Syracuse is going to lose to Clemson. Like, you face reality. When Eric Dungy isn't out there, the reality is a certainty. But 54-0, I think, and I feel bad because Austin Wilson has tried in multiple different offenses, but it just hasn't worked. And he had career numbers, but those numbers weren't high numbers. And, it's just difficult. It's very, very difficult. It shows, but the thing is, Dino Babers wasn't shying away from it. Where Scott Schaefer would say, I'm not going to say Clemson's going to win because we've got to play the game, and I believe in the heart of the team, and anything can happen. Dino Babers was on a teleconference last week laughing, saying, he goes, linebackers, draft picks. D-line, draft picks. O-line, draft picks. Wide receiver, draft picks. Up and down the line, draft picks. And I asked him the question, how does your team look against their team? And he's like, well, we got to try and fake them out. And I said, what can you say about your young offensive line that's had to shift, like a bunch of cups find the ball? That's what they had to do. So I said, for all of the movement you've had to do due to injury and youth, what can you say about your O-line? He said, I feel very good about the fact that most of them will be back next year. I mean, he was not shying away from this game at all. He expected this to be a very, very difficult matchup, and I respect him for that. But 54-0, it's a swift kick to the never region, I guess.
After watching him play last year on defense, battle LSU team, tooth and nail, battle the Florida State team, tooth and nail, play the Clemson team tough, it's just to get dismantled like that, it's just.
But how much do you put that on Dungy not being out there? I mean, he got hurt early.
Dungy wasn't out there last year against LSU or against a lot of
against Clemson, yeah. Well, those are close games for Zach Mahoney.
With Mahoney and Mahoney.
But Mahoney got put in. He was put in third. Yes, Austin Wilson came. So I was kind of surprised that Austin Wilson jumped him because Mahoney's been behind Dungy this whole time. And Mahoney, as a fifth-string walk-on, preferred walk-on last year before he got a scholarship, I mean, this is a guy who made LSU interesting. He made Clemson interesting. Yes. A.J. Long made Clemson interesting in Death Valley 2 years ago. People that forget, Syracuse held them to 16 points, 16-6. The offense couldn't score, but the defense held them to 16 points. It was their second lowest total of the season and their lowest total in Death Valley of the season. And that team went to the national championship game. So there's been positive moments against Clemson for the last 2 years, but this one, it exposed the defense with this zone that we've discussed, and it exposed, that the offense without Eric Dungy struggles to move the ball. So, and then amidst all of this, Amba Adetawo, he broke all the records. Now he has the most receptions of any Syracuse wide receiver ever, and he has the most yardage in a season of any Syracuse wide receiver ever. So somehow Amba Adetawo is just improving his NFL draft stock, but how much do you, I know you said Dungy wasn't out there last year, but when you already expect Syracuse to lose against Clemson, is there any hope without Dungy?
You always have to have hope. You don't have hope, there's no need to play in the game. So you can go out there with Coach Mack used to always say, man down, man up. If a man goes down, one has to step up and play in the game. That's why the game's played. So it's frustrating, but it's like Coach Baker said though. This team is preparing for the future. They got a lot of young kids playing, a lot of injuries right now. They're decimated with injuries, but that just gives a lot of young kids the chance to play, the chance to go out there and get experience, the chance to be able to go out there and play against top tier caliber talent. And going into next year, there'll be much more suitable to be able to, you know, to understand this defense and be ready to play. It's got to be a frustrating year, but you know what? They got three more games left, you know, and hopefully in those three games they can possibly somehow, some way, magically pull out two wins.
Yeah.
You know, and be able to go to a bowl game, you know. But they have to take it one game at a time. We got to start with this game right here. This is a must-win situation if they want to be in a situation to be able to go to a bowl game, because the following week is Florida State, you know, and Florida State home,
and then Pittsburgh on the road.
Yes, I mean, so I mean.
And Pittsburgh has no defense, but they can score 30 points on offense.
I mean, so right now
you can't fight with James Conner. So
we win this game, I can definitely put ourselves in a situation to be able to be bowl eligible, you know, going to the last game of the season. So you got to take care of home first. And this game is home, and it's just the perfect game for the taking, for Syracuse to be able to go out there and show us something. But you know, now the whole Eric Dungy injury factor also, him not being a part of the team right now, or no one knows what's going on, and they're keeping it quiet. It's so much different than when I played. You know, you knew that first day of the week if you were going to play or not when I played. Now they got upper body injury.
I don't think that they don't know. They just don't want to talk about it. You know, in your case, there was transparency. But back with Coach Mack, he said, come to practice. You still got to beat me. Here's my playbook. Because let's face it, after you play your first good matchup, right, which was Syracuse's second game of the season. After you play Louisville, people know what you're going to do. They start to understand you. Not against Colgate, but when you're playing against teams that you're trying to be competitive with, maybe South Florida is a better example. People know
much better
what you're. I know they're not going to show everything against Louisville. I got it, Rob. It's week two. They expected them to be. You know what, Rob? I don't care. I just don't. Listen, you're either going to be my vice president or I'm going to be your vice president. So we need to get on the same page.
Yeah, we are. Me and you were sitting up in that booth, and like 5 minutes into the game, it's 28-0. I'm like, holy smokes, what happened here?
Yeah. I love going up and talking to Rob before halftime or at halftime. I love the conversations I have in there. I think all the NFL agents should come and talk to us. Because I hear some of them talk, and they critiqued Ryan Nassib and said that he was incapable of running. And I was like, so what is this, the first game that you're going to watch for Syracuse? You know, and there were some people, it didn't make sense to me how some people were judged and regarded. Although Jay Bromley got in a good situation. But you don't want to show everything.
No, you don't.
But a few games in, we know, so, you know, media should be in practice, and we know who's injured. I mean, listen, Doug Marone didn't talk about injuries, and he asked the media not to talk about injuries. When the media talked about injuries, he flipped out. I was there the night that he flipped out. Okay, he looked right at the people he was pissed off at. Wasn't me. Okay, standing right to my left, and I'll leave him off of here, because God is my judge. I will not judge that individual. Karma's a bee. And I don't mess with karma. But karma's only a B if you slap her in the face. So this person slapped karma in the face, and Doug Marone called it out. He wasn't having it. Schaefer, when Schaefer didn't talk about a player, you knew that they were out for the season or out for a while or definitely not playing that week. So Dino Babers not saying anything. And I spoke with Dino today on the teleconference here on Wednesday, November 9th, and Dino said to me, I said, you know, your offensive players spoke with me about the fact that this offense is not just about Eric Dungy. It's not Eric Dungy or bust. This offense is set up to be a system and a plan in place that any quarterback can come in and find success. So what do you think about Austin Wilson and Zach Mahoney if they need to step in?
No, I think they need to find a way to step up in there and, you know, be able to do the same thing that Dungy's been doing, you know. Like I said, this offense isn't all about Eric Dungy. No offense is
right.
All about Eric.
But Mahoney is the better fit. He's the more Dungy-esque.
I think Mahoney has more of the experience and more confidence right now.
I like Austin Wilson.
The plays he had last year, where he's got the confidence to go out there against top caliber teams and play well. So
yeah.
I mean, I like Dungy in there, but Mahoney in there, but you know, time will tell. It'll be interesting to see what happens. You know.
But it was funny to ask Dino the question, and I said, because I knew he was good. I knew Dino wasn't going to flat out answer, and I know not to ask those questions because I've done this for 13 years, and you learn over time. I kind of knew this in the beginning, but you pay attention.
Yeah.
There's a way to ask a question to get a valuable answer that's not yes or no, that, you know, still allows a coach to have their smoke screen, so to speak, but they still answer your question. So you know, I said to Dino, if you don't have Dungy, what do you think about Wilson and Mahoney being prepared? And he said, well, first and foremost, I hope Dungy can be out there and play. Let's say that first and foremost. And I was like, and then he went on to talk about Wilson and Mahoney, which I appreciated. But it's Wednesday, and there's no reports. And if, you know, they say that don't live in the past, but don't let history repeat itself. History is repeating itself from Marone to Schaefer to Babers.
Yeah.
If I don't talk about a player who looks like they got a savage concussion, they're concussed, they're not going to play, and maybe they're not going to play the rest of the year. And in the case of Eric Dungy, Rob and I have counted 5 concussions, if we include the one from this past week, and I believe one of them or two of them was reported on paper.
Oh, yeah.
So, but we've counted 5. So I really respect the heck out of Eric Dungy. And not because I live in Syracuse, not because I cover the team. It's because I respect him. Find somebody in the country that doesn't respect the junkyard. You talk all the time about the junkyard dog. Mm-hmm. He's a junkyard dog.
Yeah.
Fights for every yard. So, but at this point, if this is really concussion number 5, as we have counted it to be such, he's kind of got to not play football.
He's done.
You know? If we want to preserve the value of his life.
Yes.
And his mother, who interacts with me a lot on social media, and I thank Cindy for that, I would be very scared if I was his parent right now.
CTE is a very serious and very deadly, you know, disease.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the movie Concussion, it's a very deep movie, and it's very troubling because something that's...
How the NFL was like the mafia, trying to quiet everybody?
They're just starting to find out more about it, and it's just, it's very bad. I mean, after 3 concussions, you know, it's almost not worth it for a child to play, you know, because it can be a disease that actually kills it.
And that's the thing, you are a former football player, and you have 9 concussions that you know of.
Yes.
But when you were concussed in the past, concussion protocol was them saying, Rob, what day is it? And you only play football on Saturdays, so what'd you say, Rob?
Saturday.
And when they said, how many fingers am I holding up? You know, or they waved the finger in front of your face, right?
I mean, it was really, really no protocol. There was
nothing.
The protocol was so basic.
And you told me that if you were concussed and your helmet was next to you, you'd wait until Coach Mack looked the other way, you put your helmet on, you go back in the game.
Yeah.
And you had 2 concussions in 1 game, which is usually a death sentence, like a real death sentence, like you don't make it off the field.
No, they usually kills you.
And you made it through that. Yeah. When you look back on that moment, because you had a junkyard dog in you too, when you look back on that moment that you were doubly concussed in 1 game, what do you think of? Is it like, I get down on my knees and thank God every day that that wasn't my last day? Do you kind of shake your head and laugh? I mean, how do you look back on that moment?
When it's my time, it's my time. At the time I said that, you know, but like, looking back on it now, you know, if he had a concussion now, I would have never wanted to go back in the game, you know. My son Rafael got a concussion in the game. I refused to let him go back out there. He had to go through the whole concussion protocol. You know, it's more so about safety now because we understand that, you know, concussions, we didn't know enough about them back, you know, back in the 80s, the 90s, you know,
early 2000s.
You know, but now we know enough about
them. The McCoy rule from Cleveland when they let him go back in the game, and he said he didn't even remember the last 14 minutes of the game or something like that.
But now as older players are starting to die, starting to commit suicide, starting to do bad things to themselves, you know, because they hear voices talking to them that it's not good. You know, it's time to, you know, to put safety first, you know, and the game second.
And that's the thing, you know, with Eric Dungy, there are so many Syracuse fans that if they love anything, they love Eric Dungy. So what do you say to these fans? Because there are some fans out there, just as we talked about insane people that went to voting booths yesterday, probably dressed like camels because they thought it was fun. I will say this. Let me say this really good. There, when I was walking into the voting booth yesterday, there was a woman on my right. And so I'm walking on the left. There's a woman on the right. And this lady comes out. White woman, 40s, and she looks at me and she looks at the other lady and she puts her arms out and she goes, let's all just try to be nice people. Let's just try to just, she's like, can we agree to just love each other and can we agree to just be nice people? And I was like, man, when did I not agree to that? Like, I don't know, like, you don't know me. You sound heavily medicated, which you probably had to be to go to the booth today. But she was like, can we just be nice to each other? And I was like, yeah, I can. I'm not your problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, and in that moment, I want, like, if I had somebody there that I knew, you know, it was like, I would have done something funny in the moment. But it was just really weird to me. And there was a lady standing right by the place where you cast your ballot. And because they're talking about people, like, changing votes and stuff, I don't trust anybody in the ballot box. So, and I went up and she goes, just cast your ballot right here. I put my ballot in and she's standing there, like, twiddling her fingers, looking at me. I was like, well, I'm not leaving until it says that my ballot has been cast correctly. And then going home. But, you know, I was in a small place, a small cast room. But, you know, to get back to my point about, you know, that was way off kilter. I'm not even trying to pretend that I could build a bridge back. I just wanted to tell that story. Can't we all just love each other and be together? And I was like, yeah, we can.
I don't know where that came from.
I was like, yeah, we can. But she, I mean, you know, bless her heart, you know, because, I mean, she wanted us to all be together. And, you know, that's good. I like it. So, I mean, I was always for that effort, but whatever. I think it's very fitting that Doctor Strange came out right before the election. But when we go back to the Syracuse team, and normally I can find a really good way to go from a topic to another topic and build an awesome bridge, but I've done scorch the earth on that one, so I'm not trying to build a bridge. But to get back to Eric Dungy, you know, we care about safety first.
Yes.
Right? And you played football. So you know all about CTE and all that stuff. And Rob, seriously, if anything ever happened to you or if this ever had an effect on you, I don't know if I could stomach it. I said it to my wife. I was like, if Rob just all of a sudden just the brain went somewhere, I was like, I would like tour the world trying to find a cure. I don't even know what I would do. I'd be like sitting by your bedside trying to figure it out because I know the stories of John Mackey when Floyd Little went to go visit him.
Yeah.
So I can't even fathom that. But there's some fans that are like, play until you die. You know, we need you. Oh, that's what a crazy people at the polls, crazy fans. That was my bridge. So what do you say to those people that are going, well, it's Eric Dungy or bust? If there's no Eric Dungy, I'm not going to the game.
I disagree. I believe in the player more than I do the game of football. I love the game of football, but I love the health and safety of players first. These players have families. They have loved ones and care about them. They want to see them live a long time. So that means he has to sit out a year. That means he has to sit out a lifetime. But in order for him to be able to go out there and have families the rest of his life, that's way more important. Football is just a game. It's just a recreation, a sport that we go out there and play to have fun. You know what? It's not worth losing your life over.
Is 5 concussions, is that enough for him to just, you're done?
5 concussions within a year, yes. I mean, that's a lot.
So lots of stomach.
But today's protocol, today's standard, yes, that's a lot.
Well, I remember one of the ones that they didn't call a concussion. He went down and his head, literally, his head, helmet on, was shoved into the field. He was looking down at the field. And he was down for a good 2-3 minutes, and then he just popped back up like he was a ghost version of himself, and they said, oh, he has an upper body injury. I was like, he has a concussion. When you get hit and your body lays motionless, it's not a right pinky injury. It's not a pulled groin. It's not a, you know, turf toe. It's a concussion.
Yes.
And, you know, and I'm concerned for him. It's not that Syracuse, you know, listen, Austin Wilson's got another year. Zach Mahoney's got another year. Rex Culpepper, you know, redshirting, he'll have 4 years. Tommy DeVito's part of the Elite 11, one of the best quarterbacks in the country out of New Jersey. He's coming in for 2017. So it's not that Syracuse doesn't have anything, but there is this conversation with, without their fearless leader, how can they move forward? But the offensive guys have said that it is difficult to block for him, and it's difficult to prepare for what he's going to do, and that they do get nervous when he runs because he runs head first and he doesn't slide.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Brett Favre type. I mean, he's a gambler. You know, he loves to take chances. He loves to throw his body around. But
we learned with Robert Griffin that's dangerous.
That's one thing I've told Eric before.
Michael Vick.
You know, you got to be smart. Use your head. And I don't mean that literally. I mean that figuratively. You know, just go out there and understand that just getting on the ground and being able to get up and prolong your career by not taking all these hits, you know, is what you want to do. I mean, all that flash and all making all these plays, that's all well and fun, but that's going to get you knocked out of the game and start, it's catching up to them.
Syracuse facing NC State. NC State went into overtime 17-17 with Clemson. Syracuse lost to Clemson 54-0. If A equals B and B equals C, so A equals C, that would mean NC State would beat Syracuse. But this is why they play the game. Is it a fluke that NC State has had some really good moments this year?
I think NC State's a very talented team. I mean, I don't think it's a fluke that they had some good games this year, you know, but it'll be interesting. You know, they've got to be licking their chops right now. You know, they're coming in here playing the Syracuse team and just gave up 54 points. But you know what, though? It's in the Carrier Dome. You know, so anything can happen in the Carrier Dome. I said that. With that home field advantage and not outsourcing our games down there to the Meadowlands, wherever it is they go. You know, but it's going to be good to be able to go into the Dome, have that home crowd, finally be back here again after what seems like forever being off. You know, just play a game in front of their home crowd.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. And, you know, I can credit Syracuse that it wasn't as bad as previous scheduling where they're on the road and they're not, like, home for a month and you're wondering what the heck's going on. And it's not as bad as the scheduling in the last few years where it's, like, at Louisville, then Florida State, then Clemson, or Notre Dame, Louisville, Clemson. Yeah. You know, Syracuse has had some very tough scheduling. It's spread out now. You know, BC was here. Pittsburgh's over there.
Yeah.
And Louisville was at week two, and Florida State's the second to last week. Week two and week 11 for, well, 11th game, week 12. Week 12 technically. So there's a separation. You know, Clemson's in the middle. They're not all bunched up anymore, which is a good thing, and it's helpful for a new coach. So as we move forward and kind of look at how things are going to be going here, you know, Syracuse has a few games to go. If you get 5 wins, you have a chance to get to a bowl game. Now, I had a fan listen to the show, a loyal supporter of what I call the call crew, and I appreciate it. They came on, or they wrote me a message on Twitter, at CallDT, C-A-L-L-D-T. They wrote me a message on there, and they said, Dan, there's this one guy that's prognosticating that there's 5 bowls that Syracuse will get into at 5-7. So don't you think they get in? And I said, no, not necessarily. And he said, why? And I said, because you're trusting the rest of America is not going to get to 6. There's 41 bowls, but you're banking on, when you're 5-7, you're banking on the people think you're exciting enough to watch because you're a losing team.
Yes.
You know, 6-6 is not great. It's good for Syracuse, but it's not great. You know, and anything under that is terrible. So the way that I look at it right now is, you know, 5-7, I don't think it's good enough, especially with the American Athletic Conference, which isn't a Power 5 conference by definition. They have, Cincinnati's got a shot, Tulsa's bowl eligible, Navy's bowl eligible, Houston's bowl eligible, South Florida's bowl eligible, Temple's bowl eligible, that's 5. Then they have UCF, which is got a shot to be bowl eligible. East Carolina has a shot to be bowl eligible. Tulane still has an outside shot to be bowl eligible. Of their 12 schools, 10 of them have a shot, a real viable shot, with maybe 11 that will have 6 wins. So if I'm Syracuse, 5-7 is not sitting pretty, in my opinion.
No, it's not going to be 2-8. With the 6 wins, you don't have to worry in this term. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, and we're talking about 3 weeks, and, you know, how do you, when we look at these 3 weeks, well, let me ask you this about Pittsburgh. You know, rivalries are important. How much does it piss you off that Syracuse can't figure out Pittsburgh?
That's one of the most frustrating things I've never lost to Pittsburgh in my career. I was 4-0 against Pittsburgh as a college player, so. You always seem to get up for those Eastern rivalry games, you know, between Pittsburgh and Boston College. You know, always had tough and great games. So it's an enigma. It's hard to figure it out. You know, that's something that collectively they have to do as a team. You know, mentally, and physically, as they prepare, you know, go up against the Pittsburgh team. But right now they're playing the NC State team, and that really should be their concern. But Pittsburgh is a team that always sticks in my crawl. As I've never said before, I never lost to Pittsburgh.
What does it say about Syracuse that before their loss to Clemson, They were fourth in the Atlantic Division of the ACC. And what does it say about the Atlantic Division of the ACC in general? That it was Clemson 1, Louisville 2, Wake Forest 3, Syracuse 4, Florida State 5, and then, you know, NC State, Boston College, that makes sense. But Wake Forest was 3 and Syracuse was 4 going into last week.
It just shows the indifference in that conference, you know. You have a Louisville at second, you know. And a Florida State that low, which Florida State's not having a good of a year right now. But, you know, it just shows the parity, you know, in that conference right now. But as I said before, so, you know, Syracuse is upset against Virginia Tech. That has to come for something, you know. So anything can happen right now. Just go out there, play the game with Syracuse, and just try and win it. That's all I can say, you know.
Where, when you look at this team, I know anything can happen, but if they don't make a bowl this season, what can you say about Dino Babers if they stay at 4 wins, or they get to 5, or they get to 6? Anything in that region, what can you say about him after year 1 from what we've seen?
I mean, I think it's an impressive year. I mean, I give him a lot of credit. I mean, they get the 4 or 5, they got the 4 wins already, you know, with 3 games left. They can get the, you know, 5, 6, or 7 wins. Hey, you know, what a great year. But right now, it's a learning experience. You know, next year's the next recruiting class. He's going to be able to get his form, I mean, his players now finally start recruiting his players. So
yeah,
they're going to be year under their belt of running this offense and defense. So it's going to be something that's good for this team. It's going to be something that's good for Coach Babers and Matt Orange going forward, because now these guys are going to have to play the year under their belt and be more comfortable. Yes, Amba will be gone, you know, but they still have to replace him with somebody else. So the new guys have to step up and, you know, and perform. It's all about performing when you get the opportunity.
There's already rumors that Dino Babers and Baylor could happen, right? There's rumors out there, and they're rumors. You know me, if I don't have any viable sources, which are my own, when I have sources that I know, that I trust, then I can come out and confirm something. So there's no confirmation, but there's already conversation of Dino not being here. There's rumors about it. Now, I sat down with John Wildhack, Syracuse University Director of Athletics, yesterday, right after he voted. And he was very, very cool about how he said, I was like, I'm not going to ask you who you voted for. And he said, I could promise you that I voted for a candidate on the ballot. And I was like, that's very political of you. Appreciate it. But when I spoke with John Wildhack and we had the conversation about Dino, I said, what do you think? Because Dino says we take calculated risks, but we're not reckless with the risks that we take. The same sentiment was made by John Wildhack when I interviewed him. So I asked him about that. I said, you have a coach that's just like that. And he said, I like Dino. I like what Dino's doing. And he thinks that Dino can have success. And he thinks it's going to take time. But he spoke very positively about Dino. And he said, Dino Babers and I have lunch every week. And we talk about life, not just football, but we get to know each other. We have lunch every week. So what can you say about the rumors? I'm going to call them rumors because that's what they are. But what can you say about rumors of Dino being here for a year and being gone already?
You know what,
when I know that his contract is allegedly 6 years based on my sources that I do trust.
I mean, I think with the new AD coming in, you know, and he wants to put his stamp on his team, his university, you know, so, I mean, it's all hearsay right now, you know. I mean, we listen or acted on every whisper we heard in the wind, you know, we drive ourselves crazy. So right now, you know, it's just hearsay. Coach Babers is going to go out there and be a professional and prepare these kids and get these kids ready to be able to go out there and play week in and week out and do the best job they can. So that's all I can do right now until it's official, until it's come out and someone says it.
Yeah.
And right now, I'm not even going to worry about it. Just worry about Syracuse winning the
case. I want to play hypotheticals, two hypotheticals. The first one. If Dino Babers took a job somewhere else and only spent a year at Syracuse, how would you respond?
I mean, what can I do? It's not my university. It's not my choice. It's something he's got to do to make a choice for him and his family. I mean, Dino Babers is not a Syracuse guy. Dino Babers is from came in from Bowling Green, so it's not somebody who played here. It's not somebody who has no legacy here. The whole coaching staff, you know, really no one ever here played here at Syracuse. So
I can't imagine a guy saying that this city was his dream job and that he played here and that he, oh, Oh, Doug Marrone.
Doug Marrone, yeah. Yeah.
Somebody who played at Syracuse and coached at Syracuse and called it his dream job and disappeared in the middle of the night.
That's Doug Marrone. You know, I can't get it. Any man said, as I said before,
yeah,
I respect every man's or woman's opinion, whatever they make or what choice they make, because they have to make their choice for their lives, not mine. I have my own set of values and rules that I live by, my principles and morals, and I live by those. They live by theirs, and I'm cool with that.
The other hypothetical, if Dino Babers is offered a job after the season and he turns it down and says, no, I'll turn down more money and I'll turn down another job because I want to turn Syracuse around, then how would you respond?
Well, I mean, that's respect. I mean, in this day and age of these coaches with these high-powered salaries and contracts, you know, with Coach Harbaugh getting $9 million, you know, who's the second to, you know, who's behind Harbaugh? Saban was at like $6 million. Who was at the six? Who else was at around $6 million?
You're talking about
coaches,
the salaries.
Salaries.
I know that Jimbo Fisher's was high.
No, it wasn't Jimbo Fisher. It was Saban.
Yeah, Saban.
It was Harbaugh first.
Saban.
Was it Ohio State?
Urban Meyer.
It was Urban Meyer. It was Urban Meyer.
I'm looking up coaches' salaries right now.
Harbaugh.
You ready?
Saban, Urban Meyer.
I don't think these are all in order. It'd be nice if they were in order. Here we go.
Well, for a fact, I know it was Harbaugh first. At $9 million.
Here we go. So, there's some that decline to say how much they make. But Tim Beckman of Illinois, his contract's guaranteed $9.5 million. Dave Doran makes $9 million over 5 years at NC State.
No, these guys make this a year.
No, this is Samuel Hall.
Not for the lifetime of the contract.
No, this one was a lifetime of the contract.
This is yearly.
This one's a lifetime of the contract.
Jim Harbaugh makes $9 million.
Bob Diaco, a lot of money for him too in his contract. This is the thing, because people claim Syracuse doesn't have the money.
They have the money.
How is UConn paying Bob Diaco at least $8 million over, you know, his span or whatever? Even if you break that up 4 years, it's a couple million dollars a year.
State school.
But Syracuse has the money.
Oh, they have the money. They just don't want
to
pay.
They have the money. They have the money to fix the dome. But the dome hasn't been fixed in forever. I still cannot get good internet service in the dome. I couldn't get on Cuse.com in the dome.
Internet didn't exist when it was built.
I know, because they have to like roll the tower up and do all that stuff when they have you come in here. So Nick Saban, okay, here we go. I'm gonna read them off. So that one was not in order. This one has some order to it. It has some reasoning. So let's go to Nick Saban. Nick Saban, $7 million. Jim Harbaugh, okay. So Nick Saban is 7.087 million dollars. Jim Harbaugh, 7 million. Urban Meyer, 5.86 million. Bob Stoops of Oklahoma, 5.4 million. Jimbo Fisher is fifth with 5.15 million. Charlie Strong at Texas, 5.1. Sumlin of Texas A&M, 5. Yes, Charlie Strong will probably free up some money. James Franklin of Penn State, 4.4. Les Miles, when he was there, 4.385. Hugh Freeze of Mississippi rounds out the top 10 with 4.3. And I can promise you that Dino Babers is not in the top 20.
No.
So, but when you look at this astronomical amount of money, $7 million for a coach for 1 year. $7 million. Now, Nick Saban, yeah, Alabama's number one all the time. But Jim Harbaugh, this is an arguable salary because Michigan is pretty good this year. Pretty good. But can they beat Alabama? Can they beat Clemson is the question.
It'll be interesting to see. You know, Harbaugh, since he's gotten to Michigan, basically turned that team around. He's a good coach. He's a very good coach. So it's going to be interesting to see what he can do. I mean, he's a great recruiter. He's good in the college scene. You know, he's great, a great offensive mind. And so they've got a big, big game coming up against Ohio State. And so basically decide who stays in that four-team bowl series championship for football. So it's going to be interesting to see. The sad thing for me is, though, I think Louisville's going to be on the outside looking in. And yeah. I'd love to see Louisville get a chance again for the simple fact that they're a fourth down away from being probably ranked second or third in the country right now. But they could have easily beaten Clemson.
Yeah, and they made Florida State look silly. Yeah. When you look at the college football playoff, it's in its second week of its rankings. And here with Dan, wake up call with Dan Tortora alongside Rob Drummond, Syracuse CFL and NFL. A lot of time playing football. 19 years between college and pro. 19, correct? 15 years as a running back in professional football. Insanity. That is insanity. Jamal Charles, 3 days a season is healthy. Man, 15 years. I don't know what you did. What did you eat? Give me your secrets, Rob.
I barely ate like a bird.
So that's good. Because my wife tells me I eat like a bird. So that's a good thing. What else?
I ate like a bird. I ate a lot of fruits, a lot of vegetables. And I work out a lot.
A lot of fruits, a lot of vegetables.
Love to train.
You love to train. What did you do to train your body?
I did love to train. I work out probably about three.
This is your thing, though, Rob. Like, you say, I got smaller. I don't need it. Like, I know what you look like when I met you, and I know what you look like now. So I know that, you know, some of the muscle and some of the stuff has gone away on purpose. But you're still, and you tell me all the time, no. But if I said, let's go play flag football, and I put Rob Drummond on my team, there's going to be a lot of people on the ground not going to work on Monday. Yes, there is. I don't care what you say. No. One stiff arm from Rob Drummond.
But I'm not.
Lights out.
I'm not competitive anymore. I don't have that fire to just be super athlete anymore. I mean, I can take it or leave it. I have sons for that now.
You, me, and Mark Jones on one team versus everybody.
Not gonna happen.
Yeah, well, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen, Rob.
I miss Lifetime.
Yes, it will.
You can get Raphael. He can go and play.
Come on. It'll happen.
Okay.
I'll make it happen. Can we make a bet? Let's make a bet. I want to make a bet. We got to make a bet before we get out of here. And we got to make a bet because we don't usually make bets. And I'm not going to do it for money. I'm not that kind of guy. But I'm going to make a bet with you on games, okay? I'm going to make a bet here. You're going to help me come up with a bet. Now, Jacksonville is playing the Texans, and I'm going to be at the game. Okay, just Sunday, November 13th, I'll be at the game. So Jacksonville's playing the Texans, and the Eagles are playing the Falcons. Okay? If the Eagles lose and the Jaguars win, I get something. And if the Eagles win and the Jaguars lose, you get something. I'm going to put it on the table. Let's make it interesting.
If the Eagles win, the Jaguars lose?
If the Eagles win and the Jaguars lose, then you win. If the Jaguars win and the Eagles lose, then I win.
Jaguars aren't good.
Rob, I'm putting it on the line here, okay?
I'm just trying to tell you.
But they're playing Houston. It's at home. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
Let's put something out on the table.
I don't bet.
Not money. I want to put something out on the table.
I never really bet.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. Since you made fun of my live video when I was doing my thing, rapping.
I can sing and rap, though.
Okay, but this way.
So can I. Okay. You're going to try to make me do it, but I can.
Now, this is what we're going to do. If the Eagles win and the Jaguars lose, I have to go on Facebook Live and sing the Eagles chant.
What's Eagles chant? E-A-G-L-E-S?
Yeah. If the Jaguars win and the Eagles lose, you have to sing the Jaguars thing and you have to growl.
What's the Jaguars?
It's J-A-G-U-A-R-S, and then you have to go.
Oh my God, so you guys are not only not good, you're thieves. You stole our Eagles chant.
And the Jets do it too.
They stole it too.
No, but okay. So
you're Tom Brady ish, like.
Because they fly, Eagles fly, right?
Patriots, like.
Fly, Eagles fly.
God, are you kidding me, bro?
I'll flap my wings.
That was Brian Dawkins.
If the Jaguars win and the Eagles lose, you have to say J-A-G-U-A-R-S.
G-A-Y. C-Y-N growl.
You have to do it. You have to do
it. Is that really a cheer?
You have to growl like a jaguar.
Is that really a cheer?
You got to do it on Facebook Live. Do you know how to use Facebook Live?
I have no idea.
I want to teach you.
I'm not a tech.
We're going to get to, we're going to have lunch, and in public, you're going to growl like a jaguar. It'll make me so happy.
Jaguars won't beat the Texans.
It'll make me so happy. Listen, I believe in a God up above, and God has loved me my entire life. And I think that the God that I believe in wants to hear Rob Drummond growl like a jaguar.
You say so, but here's the thing. You may want to hear me growl like a jaguar, but the Jaguars aren't going to beat the Texans. The Jaguars aren't good.
But if they do...
I do remember someone telling me this year that he thought they would win the division.
And yeah, because I did think they would win the division, and I had a lot of people on my side this year. So I'm going to put my hand out. Rob's shaking my hand. If the Eagles win and the Jaguars lose, I have to sing their song. And Jaguars win, Eagles lose, you have to sing their song. Is that a bet?
Sure, Dan.
That's a bet.
You have no chance of the Jaguars beating the Texans.
Listen, I just want to see it happen. If it happens, I cannot wait. Where do you want to go? We gotta figure. We'll figure out a place to go to eat, and you can growl like a jaguar. In the world we live in today, nobody will look at you strange.
Really,
you could dress up like a jaguar and nobody would care.
Here's the thing. I really don't care if anybody looks at me strange. It doesn't bother me at all.
I should have come up with a better thing. I should have had you like dress like an M&M and I could chase you saying that I need chocolate.
not happening.
You won't wear a cowboy's thing, man.
Not a chance.
I know you won't.
No cowboy paraphernalia touches my skin. Giants either.
We should do something for Thanksgiving where one of us has to dress up like a turkey and the other one has to go hunting for us in the forest.
The only thing that touches my skin is eagles.
Yeah, I know.
I can do that chant easily in my sleep.
Alright.
E-A-G-L-E-S. Trust me, I saw it enough years. They don't go roar at all. They just yell
what eagles. What are they?
Put that on.
Huh? Is it?
Who's that on? Oh, I know it was on. The Rock, the Rundown.
Okay. I feel good about it. I should have gone with the M&M. But as always, Rob, it's a pleasure. We are the hangover to the election, so we talked a little bit about that. We made some progress. Rob and I are running in 2020 against Kanye West, and we feel very confident that we'll win bigly. And one of us will be doing a chant on Facebook Live, and I have to teach Rob how to do it, which makes me feel wonderful that I have to educate Rob on Facebook Live. It makes me feel so good.
I am not technically savvy and all that.
It's okay.
I know how to turn my phone on.
Do you know when I add you to an event and I make you a co-host, do you get a message that tells you that? Does it say Dan's added you as a co-host? And you can click on it.
Where would I get that message?
On Facebook.
This
is why Rob never checks into events that we're both going to. Rob and I are hosting an event, and Rob's like, not going. Click. It's all good, Rob.
I just show up.
I know. I still love you. I do. I love you. I love you deeply. I really do. So if there's anything we learned from that, it's in the words of the lady from the election booth, can't we all just get along with each other?
I don't know. She must have felt guilty about her vote then.
I really wanted her to be like, can't we all just get along? And then that's when I went.
You're still on this roar.
I'm going to make you growl, Rob. It's going to happen. You're going to be on the prowl come Monday morning. Actually, I get back on Tuesday, so we got to postpone it until then. Because I have to be with Rob when he's Facebook Living this thing, because I have to teach him how to do it.
Yeah, because I definitely want to do it.
But Rob, as always, I appreciate it. Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, 214 West Water Street. We will be here this weekend with NC State. We'll be figuring out something with NC State to talk a little bit about that. And we'll be covering Syracuse football throughout the end of the season. And I'll be here with Syracuse basketball pre-gaming as well. So when it comes to game day, home and away, you can make sure to come to Saltine Warrior Sports Pub and check out facebook.com/wakeupcalldt and Twitter @calldt. That's C-A-L-L-D-T. And we'll also have some signs printed out for you very shortly to let you know our schedule and when we're going to be here. In the meantime, God bless each and everyone. God bless this great country. And Rob, thank you for sitting across from me for 6 years now.
Yeah, I'm Team Time, I was going to say. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it.
I was trying to think of what he could ask you to do. I was going to tell you to ask for a new car.